say. All right. So we're going to try, Bezrat Hashem, to learn a little Tzidkas HaTzadik. I say try because, you know, you'll see Rav Tzadik in the very first piece uses the lashon ulai yuchal, referring to conquering one's taivas. I think when it comes to learning Rav Tzadik, maybe we said this last year even, but the best we can hope for is maybe ulai. I'm going to try our best to understand something. We're dealing with a person who, when he was 1 year old, was making a shahakal on his mother's breast milk. By the time he was 2.5, he was davening every day out of a sitter. By the time he was 3.5, he was already learning Gemara Rashi Tosos. He was known as the Eloi of Krinik. He finished Shas by the age of 8. By 12, they already have Shas and Chuvos from Tzaddik. And he's writing Svarim. So we're dealing with a person, obviously, who's, you know, way above and beyond probably our league. I don't know everyone so well, but I think it's a fair guess. And he knew, I'm saying, when we say like he finished Shas by 8, he knew Shas. He was tested by Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector, and he was impressed with him. So I'm saying, like, the Gedolei Olam were impressed with this young genius. But it's not possible to learn Rav Tzadok. I heard from Rav Olbaum from Queens once, he said, Shem Rav Gedalia Shur. He says, Rav Gedalia Shur, when he would sit and learn Pri Tzadik, he said, I would sit and, you know, go through like 10 pages, and if maybe extract, you know, one little kernel of something, some Torah from it. So that was, you know, that was a great Rosh Hashiva. You read Or Gedalia, I'm saying every page he's quoting Rav Tzadik. He was someone who obviously had a sheiches to Rav Tzadik, and yet he still felt like, how much do I really, you know, how much can one really get out of it? So we'll try as best we can. We'll try to understand something. Just tell one story just to show you the koach of Rav Tzadok. I don't remember if I told this last year in the Rav Tzadok share. And Rafi Light told me I shouldn't say things. If I've said something, I shouldn't say that I said this once. I should just say it. That's true. That's a good avoda to work on. So there's a story that Rav Yaakov Haber was a Rav in Muncie. He's now in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rav of my wife's shul in Muncie. So he wrote up a whole piece when Rav Shach passed away at 107. So he wrote up about the time he met Rav Shach when Rav Shach was about 99 years old. And he went to Rav Shach to speak to him for Eitzah and Chinuch and different things, Rabbanus. And Rav Shach was talking to him. And at one point Rav Shach noticed he had a sefer in his hand. So Rav Shach says to Rav Yaakov Haber, he says, "Nu, what sefer is that?" So he says, "Yeah, I sent the cab ride over. I figured I'd bring something to learn. So I brought along a Tzidkas HaTzadik." So Shach says, I never learned. He said, it's Tzadik Kohen of Lublin. Shach says, not really familiar with this. You know, I've never learned his Torah. Maybe you can teach me something. So Rav Haber very reluctantly sat down. He's sitting down with, you know, the Gadol Hador, whose life work was a multi-volume set on the Rambam, right? And he says, "Okay, I'll show you a little Rav Tzadik." He opens up, he starts showing a piece based on a Gemara and Brachos. And Rav Shach started to cry. And Rav Shach said, "I just want you to know, I've been learning Torah for over 90 years. I've never heard anything like this in my life." So Rav Shach said, "I've never heard anything like this in my life. But I just don't have the strength at this, you know, age of my life to start something new. I just don't have the..." So Rav Yaakov Haber went on to describe. And here you have someone who was so well versed in, you know, Kol HaTorah Kula, and yet he was crying over the fact that he couldn't go weiter, he couldn't learn something new. So it's, you know, it's not stam that it was Tzidkas HaTzadik, it was Rav Tzadok that brought a person to tears, that it can mamish take a person who's very great and reshape their whole outlook on life. So with that, we will, with that introduction, we'll try to begin. There are 264 pieces in Tzidkas HaTzadik. I'll be happy if we get through like 5 or 6. Tonight we're going to do one little piece. And with that, we'll jump right in. Source number one. If you have the safer, you can use the safer. If not, there's a couple. We have more sheets here. Photocopy machine was being crazy today, though. So I hope I have enough for everyone. Reishis Kenisas Ha'adam Lavodas Hashem Tzarech Lios B'chipazam. At the beginning of one's entrance into Avodas Hashem needs to be with haste. The person needs to be quick in jumping into Avodas Hashem. When the Jews decided to become Jews, and they were ready to leave Mitzrayim, and they're ready to uproot themselves from Erevas Haaretz. We'll try to explain what all these things mean. Right? They ate the Karban Pesach b'chipazon, v'lo Pesach Doros. The Karban Pesach for all future generations didn't have to be eaten b'chipazon. So too he's saying when a Jew enters into a Avodas Hashem, you have to start off by mamish jumping in, and then afterwards you're able to slow down. If a person wants to uproot himself from the type of Olam Hazeh that he's connected to, that he's mamish mikusha behem, a person has to seize that moment of his oris. Right? All of a sudden you have a desire to cut yourself free from some yitzahara, so you have to quickly act upon it, to act upon that his oris. To quickly try to break yourself, right? You have this sudden urge to break free. Try to run and cut yourself free from that taiva. Maybe you'll be zocha. And then, just like Pesach throughout the future generations was not b'chipazon, so too, you continue to uproot the Mitzrayim in your life, right? The Erevas Haaretz, the taiva of one's life, you do it at a pace that's slow and appropriate and healthy. Okay, I think that this piece that Rav Tzadok begins his most famous sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik with is not just a klal in Avodas Hashem. I think it's a klal in learning Rav Tzadok. Very often you try to learn Rav Tzadok, and immediately you have no idea what's going on. So I'll just give you a piece of Eitza for myself that I found is very helpful. It makes sense, and it's certainly true. We have to learn Rav Tzadok as if it's a Rishon. We have to be daik in his words. So this was a person who was, who took himself seriously and took his words seriously. So someone who didn't speak for 30 years, took a period of silence for 30 years after the Ishbitzer Rebbe died, who was his Rebbe, turned him on to Hasidus. I'm saying Rav Tzadok came from a long lineage of Misnagdim. And he was brought into the world of Hasidus through the Ishbitzer Rebbe. And when his Rebbe passed away, he had this tchuf of silence for 30 years. When Rav Tzadok finally emerged, he became a Rebbe himself. But I think he's giving us a klal in understanding his farm. That has to be, you go through it quickly, and then you come back and you take it slowly. Just to we have a halacha when it comes to shnai mikra vecha targa. So there's a machlokas in the poskim in Siman Reish Pei Hey. How should a person do shnai mikra? And the Mishnah Berurah says yesh deos ben achronim, different shitos. Yeshom shikra kol pasuk beis pam v'targum alav. Some say read the pasuk twice and explain it. Yeshom shikra kol parsha pam v'achar kach targum. Some say read through the whole parsha two times fully through and then do the targum. And they're both acceptable opinions. The Magen Avraham does the first way. The Gra did the second way. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, if you look in the beginning of Emes LeYaakov, I don't have it here. I think it's page 11, like the introduction. It says that Rav Yaakov had a third way to do Shnai Mikra, which is what? Read through the whole parsha, and then go back and go pasuk targum, pasuk targum, pasuk targum. What's the svara behind it? You get an overview. You get a sense of what it's all about, and then you go back and you do it piece by piece. So I think that's what Rav Tzadok's hinting to here, and I think it's a klal in learning Rav Tzadok. Go through it, read through it, like we just did, read through the paragraph, and then go back and try to be ma'ayin and pick it apart, little by little. Okay, so let's go back and now try to pick it apart little by little. Okay? Rishis Kenisas Ha'adam Lavodas Hashem Tzarech Lios B'chipasim. Okay, I was bothered today, Rabbi Adam and I were learning, we were learning a piece in Sidur Shel Shabbos, and I was bothered by this lashon. What does it mean, Rishis Kenisas? Right, why couldn't Rav Tzadok just say, Kenisas Ha'adam Lavodas Hashem Tzarech Lios B'chipasim? Why don't you say the beginning of the entrance into Avodas Hashem has to be B'chipasim? Just say, Kenisas Ha'adam Lavodas Hashem Tzarech Lios B'chipasim. And what's the racious kinesis? It's almost like before you start, there's a pre, right? There's like a something that comes even before you actually jump into it. So I think there really is something that comes. It's almost like there's like a machshava that's followed by a maisa, right? Let's take a look at source number two, the Sidur Shel Shabbos. He says, what's the Sidur Shel Shabbos is talking about how Shabbos is a complete gift from Hashem. There's nothing you do to earn it, to make it happen. It's complete. It's Arusa de la Eila. Hashem doesn't need us at all to make it happen. And it's that link that Shabbos shares with the creation of the universe. Hashem didn't, when Hashem decided, right, in his Ratzon HaPashut, like it says in the Eitz Chaim, that Hashem had a simple desire to create the world. There was no Issa Rusa Dilatata. Man wasn't around. Nothing was around. The Malachim weren't around. Yeah, what do you want to say, Rav? You're smiling there. You have something good to share with us? Okay, what? Very gracious. Right? So there was no Isarus of the Latat. The man had nothing to do with it. So the Siddur Shal Shabbos writes, "Ve'efshar od shemaram itzakadosh baruch hu hamayla zu shereishis ha'isarusa nasa minei ubei." The beginning was on its own, kiviyachol. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu did everything himself, and that's hinted to in the first two words of the Torah, "Bereishis bara." That before Hashem created anything, He created a reishis. He created a starting point. Right? Bereishis bara. Klamar she'af betoch hareishis he hayabria. That the reishis itself is a bria. Right? What does it mean, reishis kenisas ha'adam la'avodas Hashem? It means that before a person comes to avodas Hashem, there's like a machshava that comes before the maisa. The reishis is the machshava, and the kenisas ha'adam la'avodas Hashem is already the maisa. So now you think about it in the context, like Rav Tzadok saying, Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Doros. Right, so it's funny, you know, Pesach Mitzrayim was bichlipazon, Rav Tzadok says, right? He's telling us to look in the Gemara Pesach Medaf Tzadivav. So if you look over there, think about it for a second. Was Pesach Lidoros really any different than Pesach Mitzrayim as far as the actual amount of time a person had to eat the Karban Pesach? Right? Did they actually eat it any faster? Yes, it was bichlipazon. Was it really bichlipazon? In what way was it bichlipazon? Right? If you look at the pasuk. Right, you look at the Gemara over there. So the Gemara says, "What's the chipazon?" Right, the chipazon is v'kacha tochlu oso basneichem chagurim naalechem raglechem makelchem biyedchem v'chaltem oso b'chipazon. Right, you're eating in a state of chipazon. You have your staff in your hand, your belts are tied, your shoes are on. Right, but the actual amount of time that they ate the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim is exactly the same amount. Right, they finished the Karban Pesach in the same amount of time that we eat it every year. So is there really a chipazon? I'm saying, was there really this, you know, the sense of chipazon? So I think part of the pshat is that the chipazon doesn't mean that I'm necessarily in a mice of chipazon. Right? It's almost like a machshav of chipazon. I put on this outer garb of chipazon. I look like I'm in a big rush because I got my staff in my hand and I have my shoes on. I have my belt tied, right? But in reality, it's not with this crazy bala that's being described. And I think Rav Tzadok is telling us that as much as the starting point has to be with this, you know, jump in attitude, right? The chipazon shouldn't be that it affects the maisa. The maisa should still be yishav adas. If a person is going through the maisa b'chipazon with this rush, so then eventually what's going to happen? You're going to destroy the maisa that you're trying to create, right? And the Chasharas of Reichem, the Pesach Rebbe says in Parak Tes, he quotes a beautiful part from the Baal Shem Tov. He goes to Pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo Melech says, "Chazisa ish atz bedvar." If you see a person who's quick about his business, his doings, tikva lechsil mimenu. A fool has a better chance of accomplishing than he does. So rushing is not a good thing. And he quotes from the Baal Shem Tov, a beautiful vart. He says, "What's pshat when we say vavadetem mehira?" Right, what does it mean? Shitzarach adam la'abir es hamehiras. Person should lose the mehiras. It's not good to be in a chipazon. So we put on this outer garb of chipazon to make it look like chipazon is the way to go. But b'maisa, right? The racious, that machshava, that original starting point where my mind is racing, that's b'chipazon. But the maisa, when it comes to the actual kenisas ha'adam l'avodas Hashem, there a person already slows down.
So I don't understand. What's the difference between the kenisas and the chipazon? The readiness and the beginning?
No, so I'm saying, I think what's the reish? Right? Why do you need reishas kenisas? The beginning of the entrance. Just say the entrance into avodas Hashem. Meaning before a person actually does anything, right? There's a machshava that comes before the maisa. There's a ratzon that comes before the maisa. That ratzon, that machshava, that Pesach Mitzrayim, right? That's it has the appearance of chipazon. But maisa, it's not. Right? Even in Mitzrayim, they weren't actually eating it any faster than we eat it every single year. It just looks on the surface, right? In Machshava, their mindset is we're in a big rush, we're leaving Mitzrayim. But Lamaisa, they don't leave Mitzrayim until the next morning. It's no different than when we eat the Karban Pesach every year. So the point is that even when a person has that chipazon, it has to still be, you know, under control. The chipazon shouldn't come to ruin the maisa. Right? The mehiras can be very destructive. Okay, but I think it's more than that also. Perhaps a second piece to that. That sometimes a person has a good machshava, and he's not able to run with it. Right? You look at source number 3, Chavetz Chaim, Al Torah, Parshas Lech Lecha. Chavetz Chaim praises Avram Avinu for finishing the job. He has an idea and he runs with it. Right? Sometimes you have that machshava, and then unfortunately you lose that machshava. That's what Rav Sadek's talking about here. He says a person who has that hisoris has to be able to run with the hisoris. Let's take a look. Vayikach Avram, vayitzu lecha sarta Kanan, vayavoh arta Kanan. Avram has this idea to go to Kanan, and he makes it to Kanan. Unlike who? Avram Avinu Alav Shalom Mekev and Shaya Badaito Lechas Arts of Canaan Bal Arts Canaan. Avram had this plan, let me go to Canaan, and he made it to Canaan. What about Terach? Beitzel, the Sfarno points out the same thing. Beitzel Terach Siv Parsha Kodemis Vayetzu Yitam Meor Kastim Lelechas Arts of Canaan. He also had the Machsha, oh yeah, it's a good idea, let's go to Canaan. Right? But what happened? Vayevo Ad Charon Vayish Visham. Right, Terach didn't make it. He had that initial hisoris, he had that initial ratzon, he had this idea, this rachis, I'm gonna enter into it, but he wasn't able, right, the chipazon, I guess, to go, maybe, spoiled the mitzvah. He wasn't able to make it all the way. He lost some steam along the way. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Ulam the Choshal, Adam Lelechas Bedarke Avram Avinu. The Torah is encouraging us to walk in the ways of Avram. If you're makabel upon yourself, if you have that hisoris, if you have that rachis, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? The rachis barach, Hashem creates that little spark in your mind. He gives you an idea. And you know it's a good idea. What's going to happen immediately afterwards? The Yitzhar is going to kind of try to come and do everything he can to stop you from finishing that job. There's an amazing Gemara in Yoma that Ayin Beis Amud Beis. It says, Mibayis umichutz titzapanu, right, referring to the Aron, that it's coated inside and out with gold. Amar Rava kol tamad chacham shein tocho kabaro eino tamad chacham. A tamad chacham was not like the Aron, it's not tocho kabaro, it's not a real tamad chacham. So says Rav Avram Yitzchak Bloch, right, in the Shirei Hadas, right, the great Rosh Hashir from Tells. He says, I don't understand. A tamad chacham is supposed to be like the Aron, right? Tocho kabaro. Just like the Aron was gold on the outside and gold on the inside, the Talmud Chacham has to be golden through and through. Tocho Kabaro. What's the problem? Think about the Aron. What's the problem? It was gold, and then it was wood, and then it was gold. Right? So what do you mean Tocho Kabaro? And making it sound like he's mamish. Like Talmud Chacham is mamish, all gold. Right? It's not all gold. Right? Says Rav Blach. You know what a true Talmud Chacham is? You have this great idea. You have this golden idea, right? You have this rachis. You have this thesaurus. The rachis bar. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts an eitz in your mind. I have this brilliant plan how I'm gonna do this great thing, and it'll be a tremendous chesed for people. Right? What happens immediately after that? After the gold, you hit some wood. Right? You get stuck. All of a sudden, the Yitzhara comes and starts to mess with you and say, I don't know. Right? It comes up with this far. Well, maybe it's not worth my time. Yeah, it's a big stuck and it's a chesed. Maybe I should spend my time learning. You have all the svaras in the world, right, to stop you from finishing the job. The Talmud Chacham, like the Aron, does what? He pushes through. He keeps going. He says, yeah, my idea, I know the idea was good when it started, and I'm going to run with it. As the Chafetz Chaim said, you have an idea to go to Canaan, so go to Canaan, make it to Canaan. But don't be like Terach, who has this idea, I'll start, and then I'll stop, and then I'll stop, right? To push your way through, to go all the way. And that's the famous Ramban that the Or Gedaliah quotes all the time. Ramban is in his Emuna Bitachon. It's found in the Kol Kisvei Ramban. We have it in the back. I was going to put it in, but we ran out of space. In Emuna Bitachon Perak Yotes, the Ramban says, explaining the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Im Te'iru V'im Te'oru Esa'ava Achetechpats. Now what's a person supposed to do? Im Te'iru V'im Te'oru, if a person has this Orus, what's he supposed to do? Right? Esa'ava, if it's a real Ava, if he's really feeling it, what should he do? Achetechpat, he has to attach it to a chifetz, to attach it to something tangible, right? The Or Gedaliah always talks about it by the Moadim, that if a person has a Yesoros by the Moad, you have to try to hang on to that, and to find a way to attach it to something. Right? And I'm saying it just on a Pashur Mashal I always like to give when I say this piece. Right? Imagine a person goes on a vacation, you go on a trip, right? And there you are in the airport on the way back, and you want to somehow remember this, you know, this trip. So you go into the gift shop, and you buy like a dinky little keychain or whatever, that says like, I had fun in Florida. And you go home, and you hang that like over your desk, and every time you see that, it brings back these tremendous, right? This little chayfetz, this little $1 chayfetz, is able to reawaken that hisoros, right? So the goal is, if a person has that hisoros, you got to run with it, right? To not be like a terach, to be like an avramino, to be like a true Talmud Chacham who's tocho kabaro. That doesn't mean you're not going to hit a little wood along the way. There's going to be bumps along the road, but a Talmud Chacham is the person who pushes through and goes all the way. Okay, let's go back to the Lashon of Tzadok. Reishis kinyisas ha'adam la'avodas Hashem tzarach lios b'chipazon. Right? A person wants to get into avodas Hashem, it has to be swift. You can't think about it too much. Okay? Yosef HaTzadik is challenged with the ultimate challenge. Such a big challenge that the Medrash says that a Roman woman came to Rav Yossi and says, I don't buy it. I think he sinned with the Ishes Potiphar. There's no way. He's a 17-year-old handsome guy. He's this young guy. He's a good-looking guy. Right? She's tempting him over and over nonstop. She says, I don't buy it. I think the Torah is covering up for Yosef. So Rav Yossi says, listen, the Torah is open about our mistakes. Right? There are other mistakes in the Torah that the Torah has its fair share of scandals, so to speak. Right? So we're not necessarily looking to cover up. But how did Yosef know, right, to refuse Ashes Potiphar in the way that he did? So let's look in source number 4. All right, nice piece from Rav Shalom Shodron, Sefer Lev Shalom Parshas Vayeshev. Right? That's what we're saying. If you really want to get out of Erev HaSaharetz, if you want to get out of Mitzrayim, and that's why Yosef is the perfect example to use, right? It has to be with this tremendous chipazon. Right? So says the Sfasemes. Tama Sfasemes. Minayin yada Yosef l'gvoa b'vados ki maisa zehu chet l'alokim. Right? Yosef says, I can't be with you, I have to get out of here. He runs out of the room. He says, if I even engage you in discussion, it's going to be a sin. How did he know for sure? Why didn't he talk to her about it? Okay, so obviously you could say there was a lot going on, there's a lot of background story to this. But when the day finally came, where she tried to seduce him, and he runs out, right? So why was he so sure that was such a good idea? Eishes Potiphar was acting with Shem Shemayim. She had good kavanas, right? She rasa shasid lahamid banim mimenu. She saw in the mazalos, they're meant to be together. Uminastam amr gam li Yosef ra'yazu. Right? She told Yosef about this, that we're meant to be together. Every day, yom yom, she was trying to persuade him. Right? I'm telling you, Yosef, this is a really good idea. So why, when finally the day came, the day where he had to decide, right, why didn't he, you know, sit on the idea a little bit, think about it a little bit, talk it out a little bit? Right? All of a sudden he decides, no, I can't. This is a terrible sin. So he says in the next paragraph, and they say this also from Baruch of Mezhbuz, Shemitoch harayos harabot sheviya, because she was pushing so much with these rayos and trying to get so bad, trying so hard to convince him that this is a good idea. Every day she's pushing, right? Every day trying to persuade him. Yada Yosef nechratzos she'enan ela divrei yitzahara. He knew that this must be a trick of the yitzahara. Mishum she'yeter tov is nishkai nudnik. Right? The yeter tov is not such a nudnik. Right? The fact that every day she's hawking him, you know, this is a really good idea. He says this doesn't make sense. Right? The fact that she's so excited about this, the fact that this makes so much sense is the ultimate proof that it doesn't make any sense. Right? Because if it's a real avodas Hashem, like Rav Tzadik says, Reishis Kenisadim has to be b'chipazon. That means you have to rip yourself out of what would seem to make sense. Right? Real avodas Hashem is going to be difficult. If it's so perfect, it makes so much sense. There's something's not right here. Right? Something's a little bit off. And he quotes from the Gra in the next paragraph. Right? What happens with Rus and Naomi? Right? Why did Naomi accept and allow Rus to go with her in the end? Machmas, right, says the Pasuk, Shevetera kimisametes hilaleches. Right? Rus is struggling to go with her. Oh, says the God, the fact that Rus is struggling, right? If it would have been easier for her to go along, she would say, you know, go home, it's not worth it. Right? It's not coming from an emistic place. But if you have to fight for it, if you have to push your way through to do it, if the body is heavy, right? He says in the fourth line, right? Check yourself, see. When you're going through the motions, are your limbs heavy? Or are your limbs just, you know, running to do it? If it's so easy, right? If it's so easy to make those right decisions, if you think it's just going to be simple at the beginning, so then probably it's coming from the Yetzirah. How could the Evaria Guf, which are from the Afar, which are Gashmi, how could it be that they're so interested in Ruchnias? The body's so quick to act? Right? So Rav Tzadok's chipazon means, right, to be menatik yourself from taiva, like he says, that it's a chipazon where I'm struggling, right? I'm ripping myself out of my mold, out of what seems, you know, naturally right. And the famous story in the biography of Rav Chaim Volozhin is brought down in various biographies of Rav Chaim Volozhin. When he wanted to open the Volozhin yeshiva, he came to the Vilna Gaon, and he was so excited, and he said, I have this great idea, I want to create the ultimate yeshiva. Volozhin was the first yeshiva of its kind, right, where mamish, everything, you know, revolved around the yeshiva. and all the needs of the bachur were handled by the yeshiva. And the Gros sat there quietly. Rav Chaim's going on and on, telling him, this is a great idea, I make this yeshiva, Blushing yeshiva, right? And he's sitting there, Gros doesn't say anything. And Rav Chaim understood that was a sign that the Gros obviously wasn't maskim. So several years, different versions, different kursos, right? Some say 3 years later he came back and he said, he presented this idea, he pitched the idea of the Vladin Yeshiva again. And this time the Grow was it's a wonderful idea, right? So he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. The first time I came to you and pitched this idea, right, you gave me you wouldn't respond, you didn't say anything, so I figured you weren't into it. So he says, the first time you said it with such an excitement that I was concerned that it was coming from the Yitzhar. Right? If it was coming from an amistic place, then you wouldn't be that excited about it. You recognize that there's going to be a struggle, that it's going to be difficult, that you're going to have to fight against certain, clipos, so to speak, to make it happen. The fact that it was so easy for you, the fact that it made so much sense to you, was the ultimate proof that something's not right here. And now that I see you're coming back, the idea settled in a little bit, right? You had your golden idea, but then you went through a stage of wood, and you worked through it, and now you're still pushing it as a good idea. That's a sign that it's an amistic idea. All right, let's flip over to the back side. Let's go back to Tzadik again. Reishis Kinesis Adam Lavodis Hashem Tzarech Lios B'chipaza. Right? So you have to fight. You have to fight to make that initial jump. You have that Hisoris, that Reishis. Now you want to enter into it. You got to fight through the wood. You got to push your way through. Okay, why is he describing Mitzrayim as the root of all taiva? Right? And again, he's using Mitzrayim as the mashal, the leaving of Mitzrayim as the mashal, but he's calling that what? To uproot yourself, mikol taivas olam hazeh. Right? Mitzrayim was known as what? As Ervas Haaretz. Mitzrayim was known for Arayos. Is Arayos really the root? And this is something that talks about a lot. It talks a lot about Kedusha Sabris and Shmira Sabris. Right? Is Mitzrayim, is Ervas Haaretz, is Arayos really the root of all chet? So in some ways, you could certainly make a case for it. Right? You look at Rashi and Bereishis Parak Gimel Pasuk Aleph. How does it all begin? How does the Nachash get involved with bothering Adam and Chava? He saw Adam and Chava being intimate together. He had a desire, he had a taiva for Chava. And through that, Chet was born into the world. He started to tempt Chava and he got her to sin. And that was the process of bringing Chet into the world. So in many ways, Ervas Haaretz, Mitzrayim, right? Mitzrayim really is what? Is really the root of all, is really the root of all Chet. If you look in Chazal, you look in Shas, what word, right? The term Avera, Stam Avera, if you just see the word Avera, it's referring to what type of Avera? It's very often, it's referring to Arayos, right? Where it says in Brachos Chaf Beis, for example, there was an Isha and she was Tava, someone, she solicited someone for an Avera, right? What was she soliciting him? To eat a cheeseburger, right? Stam Avera in Chazal means what? It means Gila Arayos, and you see that in many places. So the root of all Chet, the root of all Avera is what? Is Gilei Arayos, is Arayos. The root of all Mitzvos is what? Is going to be the opposite. If a person could take that Taiva for Arayos and use it the proper way, so you have the foundation of all Mitzvos, which is what? Puravu. Puravu is the first Mitzvah of the Torah. And we have a klal from Rav Tzadok that the first time something appears in the Torah, that's malamed on any other time you see it. Right? The first thing, you want to understand the word in the Torah, anywhere it appears, go find the first place it appears. It's a klal from Rav Tzadok and the Gra and others. Right? So I saw in the Sefer Malchamos Yehuda, as a Gerach Hasid, so he says, if Pur Ravu is the first mitzvah of the Torah, that means every mitzvah is really rooted in the concept of Pur Ravu. Just like every Avera is rooted in the concept of Taiva, of Gilei Arayos, right? So too, every mitzvah is rooted in the concept of Pur Ravu. Because just like Pur Ravu is the concept of growing, of expanding oneself, so too, the mitzvahs are supposed to help develop a person, helps a person to grow and expand himself. So that's what Tzadok means when he says that it's the root, right? It's Mikol Taivos. Okay, what does it mean, makusha behem? Right? What does it mean that you're makusha behem? Why does he specifically say that you're makusha? You have to not take yourself. So again, think about Mitzrayim. Pasuk says in Devarim Parak Dalet that in Mitzrayim we were extracted from Mitzrayim as a goy mikar of goy. Right? The lashon I left the mechilta over there. Mechilta. The lashon of mechilta is what? That it was almost like we were born, right? The mashal of the cow, the mother cow giving birth to the baby calf, and it's being extracted, has to be pulled out, right? What was that movie a long time ago? Where he's giving. What was it? No, that's not what I'm thinking of. I don't know. I'm thinking of a movie where someone's like delivering a.
Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Right, but you have to mamish like pull it out. You know what I'm saying? You have to mamish extract the baby. I'm sorry for this disgusting mashal. You have to mamish extract the baby calf from the mother, right? It was goy mikar of goy mitzayim. We were so connected there. We were mamish like their children. Right? It was goy mikar of goy. We were one and the same with them. We were their child of Mitzrayim. We were the byproduct of Mitzrayim. We had to be pulled out of that. Right, not a single Jew escaped Mitzrayim. We had bought into the, you know, the Beis Yaakov, the Ishbitzer says, we had bought into the, right, it was propaganda, he says. It wasn't that there were amazing security fences and really strong guards. Why? How come no one ever escaped Mitzrayim? Because no one ever thought to leave Mitzrayim. Not a single Jew thought to try to escape Mitzrayim. Okay, you have other sources that say otherwise. But he says it was pure propaganda. We had been so brainwashed that we thought being in Mitzrayim was the greatest chus in the world. So now a person says, Rav Tzadok, Bibnei Shaschol and Natik Asa, you want to rip yourself out of there, going to be care of God. You want to uproot Kol Taiva Solom Azeh, which are all rooted in Ervas Haaretz. It's all rooted in Mitzrayim. It's all rooted in Arayos. So what do you need to do? Tzarech Lishmor HaRegesh Misorer Bo Baratzon Hashem. A person has to seize the moment of his Orus. By the way, just one other point. The Gemara says by Arayos that if a person, the Gemara in Sota and Daf Gimel, that if a person sins with an erva, right, it's kashura lo kekelev. That avera sticks to you like a kelev, like a dog. Right? It's bound to you like a dog. I don't know, do owners bind their dogs to them, right? But your dogs, are, you know, the people who are really into their pets, the dogs always right by their side. Right? It's kiyulu that they're, you know, one and the same. Right? Man's best friend. You mamish become. You know, it's like it's mamash, like you're married to your dog. You become very close to your dog, right? So a person who attaches himself to these types of averos, right? Specifically arayos, but again, he's using this as the mashal for everything. So you become makusher. You become attached to it in a way like nothing, like no other avero. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 9. The Shulchan Aruch in a few places. It's very rare the Shulchan Aruch uses lashon ma'od ma'od. It's found very infrequently in the Shulchan Aruch. One of the places that he uses it is in Hilchos Evan Ezer, Simon Chaf Aleph. Tzarech Adam Lisrachik Mehanashim Ma'od Ma'od. Right, you need to distance yourself from women. Ma'od Ma'od, very much. Triple Ma'od, okay. Triple Ma'od will say for another time. Good. Look at, so it says the Beis Shmuel, right, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, under the Shulchan Aruch on our page. Right, look what he says. Ma'od Ma'od. A person has a taiva for this, right? Very much so for women. That's normal. It's healthy. Right? When it comes to a rise, when it comes to money, a person has has irrational desires for it. Even though Chazal say what? That while more people sin with Gezel, only few people sin, mamish sin with Arayos. Look what he says. Look what he says in that third line. Mikol makum imragil b'chidze, kashal lifrosh yoser mishar averos. Right? If a person gets attached to these things, it's harder to separate from this than any other avero. Right? Just like gambling is an addiction, I think the world, you know, I don't want to talk about things that probably shouldn't be spoken about in a public setting, but right, sexual addiction. How many people are, you know, mamish addicted to pornography? It's a real addiction. It's a chemical illness that a person becomes, and the Beis Shmuel says, right, long ago, before they were opening up clinics to deal with these types of things, right? He says, a person who is ruggling these things, you become attached to him more than anything else. So now a person wants to get out of this, so he has to be mamish b'chipaz, and you have to run from it, like Yosef Etzadik, right? You don't discuss with Eishes Potiphar. The Divrei Yecheskel says, Vayima'ein, that was it. Right? She says, let's talk about this. I'll give you a good svaras why this is good. Vayima'ein, he refused. Shalshelis, he refused, and he refused, and he refused. No way, there's nothing to talk about here. The Chedush Yerim used to say, he says, I don't understand. If a person brings you to sin, it's worse, right? Chazal say, it's worse to cause someone to sin than to kill them. So imagine, says the Chedush Yerim, someone's running to kill you, he's running at you with a knife, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to scream, you're going to do something, right? You're going to scream at the top of your lungs, get away from me with that knife, call for help, right? And yet when the Yetzer Hara comes to you, how come you don't scream? Right? Why don't you run? Why don't you scream? Right? You just sit there like passively and say, like, let's see how this plays itself out. If the guy's coming at you to kill you, which is less severe, says Chazal, than if he's trying to spiritually destroy you, right? He's coming at you with a gun, you're going to run. But Yema'in, you're not going to, you're just going to get out of there. And yet, all of a sudden, it comes to Chatam, and we're ready to bargain, we're ready to talk business. Right? The attitude has to be that we don't bargain with the Yetzer Hara. The Majid Tzarebi said, and Dafka by Mitzrayim, what does it say? Kasher ya'anu oso, ken yerbev v'chen yefrotz. So he darshans it like this. Kasher ya'anuos. So the more you try to answer to it, ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz. The more it's just going to keep multiplying. You can't try to answer. You just got to run. Right? You have to menatik yourself. You have to be just uproot yourself and run out of Mitzrayim. And you have that hisoros. If Hashem puts that rachis, that little spark in your head, you just got to take off and keep running. And never look back. And then afterwards, Shuv Yelech Mesino says, Rav Tzadok, then you can slowly go back and try to redo the things that that you had worked on up to that point. Okay, maybe just to be Messiah on a more positive note, alright? Meaning not only does this idea of running from the bad apply to again uprooting the negative, but the same thing when a person wants to be to be osek in good things, sometimes a person has to just jump in. Alright, we like to a person likes to go down to the lake, right? You're thinking maybe tomorrow or Shabbos, it's probably gonna be freezing. I'm sure some of us want to go to the mikvah. Right? So the key is just go down and just jump in. Because if you put your foot in, forget it. You're not going to, right? You'll spend 45 minutes trying to get into the water, and then you'll give up and you'll say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I tried, You should give me ki'ilu, I was tovel. Right? Because I wanted to. Right? But lamaisa, a person has to know how to jump in. Let's take a look at source number 7.
Right after the shir.
Right in mikvah after the shir? Go for it. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, beautiful vart. Now, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky was not someone who said chassidus, and this was not his own vart. He says, I saw it in a sefer one time. But he says that a person has to sometimes, when a person encounters a struggle, sometimes the best way, right, the water's a little cold. If a person's Torah, in Mayim al-Torah, if the water's a little cold, you gotta just jump it. Look what he says in source number 7. It's from the sefer Pninei Rabbeinu Yecheskel, likud of Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky's Torahs. Vim lefam yiksha halimud ahalomi. Sometimes a person wants to learn and it's not going so well. But dvarim ne'alav metzlo, and things are concealed from him. It's not going so smooth. V'amatikus mimenu v'ala, and he sits there and his mom is trying so hard to taste the sweetness of Torah, which he's heard about. Right? He read Rav Shur, who says that Amelis is b'gmatria matok, so he knows that if he works hard, he's going to taste it eventually. Right? And it's not going. He hasn't tasted anything. It's not happening. I'll tell you what I saw one time in a hakdama to a sefer. The Jews came to Mara. Sometimes a person wants to learn, and it's mamish mara. It's mamish bitter. Every word is bitter. He's not able to drink the water. He can't drink these waters of Torah. Mamish bitter to him. The Torah, which is supposed to be so sweet, supposed to be the sweetest thing in the world, right? Sweeter than honey, right? And it doesn't taste like anything. So just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, gave an eitz meaning a piece of wood, right, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem teaches us an eitzah. Hashem Yisbarach Nosein Torah, Hora Lo Eitzah. What's the eitzah? Vayashleich al Amayim. Moshe took the eitz and threw it into the water. You want to taste the sweetness? Just jump into the water sometimes. Vayashleich al Amayim, Vayimtiku Amayim. Shekasher Yashdich Atzmo Legamri al Amayim. When you throw yourself into the Mayim, right? Meimei HaTorah. Throw yourself into the Torah. Mamish, give it your all. Mechipazon, right? Jump in. Ve'yilamid b'sirachsus mechletes. Give in mamish all of your energies. B'shichchas hevle ol mazeh, and leave all the taivas behind. Maybe not take yourself from the taivas, like Rav Tzadok said. Ve'yashleich el amayim oz ve'yim teku amayim. Then the Torah will become sweet. Right? And then you can go back once you've given it your all, once you have that breakthrough. So then Rav Tzadok says, Pesach Lidoros, you can go slowly, lot. Right? When the Jews went through the Masos, right? So we jumped out of Mitzrayim, Mamish, we flew out of all the Madrigos of Tumah Mitzrayim, and then went back. We slowly, right, Masa after Masa, we went back, we redid certain ones, Rashi says, different opinions, how many we went and redid. Right? But the starting point has to be, you throw yourself into it. You can't say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me the sweetness up front. Right? Let me taste the sweetness, and then I'll be committed to doing your Torah and mitzvahs. It doesn't work like that. Right? Ta'amuru, you have to taste it and you'll see it. And it's the hardest thing in the world to explain. When someone who hasn't yet tasted the sweetness of Torah, asks you, they see that you're into it, and they say, what is it that inspires you? You can't explain it. Ta'amuru, the Pasuk says. The only way to get it is to try it. Okay, I'll end with just one last, actually two final things. Let's do source 8 and 10 and then we'll stop. Okay, just one other idea, again, very similar to this idea from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. You can't make that tenai with Hashem. You can't say, Hashem, let me taste it, and then I'll do it. Right? Show me how awesome it is, and then I'll show you how committed I am. It doesn't work like that. So there's a beautiful vart in the Yismach Yisrael, the Rebbe of Alexander. quotes from his grandfather, explaining the pasuk in Tehillim that we say before Tkiyas Shofar. Tuv tam v'da, in source number 8, in second line. Tuv tam v'da aslam deini kibu mitzvasecha hamanti. What's the pshat? Haynu she'osama nashim asher lo yirtu lasas mitzvah Hashem, rakim yigal hem tama mitzvah. Some people like to bargain with Hashem, and they say, Hashem, listen, let me understand the mitzvah, let me have the tam, right, both the reason and the taste of the mitzvah. We are gishu ni'imus metikas arevus yedidas ha-mitzvah. Let me taste the sweetness of this mitzvah. Oz yasu ha-mitzvah. Then I'm prepared to do it. If it doesn't make sense to me, if shanis doesn't make sense to me, so then I'm not going to do it. If a person has that attitude, you'll mamish never see what it's about. Why? You don't believe in Hashem, you just want to know things. But you're not willing to accept anything on the level of a mamin. Are you talking to Eved and Melech, Yomar the Melech? Is it fitting that the Eved of the Melech should say to the king, if you don't give me the avoda that I enjoy, lo avod? It's crazy, you can't say that to the Melech. The king says, go clean the toilets, that's what you do. I'd rather sweep the kitchen. Too bad. You're more bemachus. And so too, if a person says, I'm not going to listen to Hashem, unless what? Im yargish tam, bilti im yargish tam, if I don't taste the sweetness, v'lo kein tzarech liyos, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. V'akashur la'ol kachamor la'masa. Right, like a shore carrying the burden. A shore doesn't necessarily enjoy it. So he says, that's the pshat of the pasuk. Tuv tam v'das lamdeni. Right, Hashem, tuv tam v'das lamdeni. You know why I'm worthy of having the tuv, right? The tuv tam, the good taste, the good understanding. Why keep mitzvasecha amanti? Because I was prepared to do the mitzvahs even what? On the level of emunah. Oh, you're willing to do it on the level of Amunah, then tuv tam v'das lamdeni. Hashem will eventually be megala to you, right? What's really going on? But if you're going to try to bargain with Hashem, and you're going to say, teach it to me first, right? And then I'll jump in. It doesn't work like that. If Sadduk says you got to jump in, chipazon, and then afterwards, Pesach Doros, then you can go back and chazer it lat lat. Okay, just to be Messiah with one final source, source number 10, the Imre Emes by Shavuos. Okay, we'll just jump down to, you see the line about 10 lines from the bottom, maybe a little more, where the line that begins, Kiyum Letamid. Right, so he's talking about, again, this concept of maintaining his Oros. Right, because a big part of what Rav Tzaddik is saying here is that, you know, how do I hold on to that initial Hesoros to even then go over it and try to, you know, solidify it slowly, slowly. So he says a beautiful part. It's mamash a beautiful part. He says, "V'zeh masha amar Yirmiyo l'doro shel Yoshiyahu, v'gam b'chol zos lo shavu elai kiyim b'sheker." Right? The Isav of Medrash, the Medrash says, "Shayutzarim turas avodah zara al dal sosam mibefnim." Right? We know that they used to hide their avodah zara behind their doors, whether it was etched into the door, whether they had their idols behind the doors. But either way, when the Navi would come, right? When people would come in and they'd swing open the door and they'd look, oh, no avodah zara in here. Okay, great. Then the doors would close and what would happen? The avodah zara would be right there again behind the door. He says the Imre Emes, says the Gera Rebbe, you know what it means on a deeper level? It means that sometimes what happens, when the doors were closed, the avodah zara would go back to its place. What does it mean? Sometimes you hear the words of the Navi Emes, you get the chizuk, right? And you're mamish inspired, you read a piece from Rav Tzvi Meir, and you're mamish, wow, this is amazing, this is going to carry me forever, right? That's how you feel. Or you sit by a shal shudas and you feel like, wow, I'll never forget this experience, right? There's mamish a pesicha saleh, the doors are mamish open, fully open. But sometimes when the door closed, the avodah zara is right there again, behind the door. Right? So what? How does a person, what do you do to keep the doors open? Right? That's why Yirmiyahu Navi says it's sheker. If you're only going to have a hesoros, if you're going to get that quick high and then come crashing down, right? If you're not able to do like the Ramban says, to even to oru as avach techpat, to attach it, to do something tangible with it, to attach it to a chayfetz, if you're not able to do with it, then it's sheker. Then that hesoros is not a real hesoros, and you're not roi of the Torah. Uve kedusha tzvichim l'shtadl sheyisha bekvias. When it comes to kedusha, a person has to try to hang on to that bekvias, like it says. What? V'yiskadashtem v'yisem kedoshim. Not just to have that quick high of kedusha, but the kedusha should be v'yisem kedoshim, where it stays, where it lasts. And a person can carry it with him. you know, in everything that he does, that it should be nechach b'lev, like he concludes here, v'yishur b'kfiyas. Okay, so let's just go back. We'll read over the piece from Rav Tzedek one final time, and hopefully all the ideas will come together in our head. Reishis kinesis la'adam lavodis Hashem tzarach lios b'chipazim. Right, again, the reishis, a person has that isoris, and he wants to enter into vodis Hashem. And he needs to be b'chipazim, not a chipazim that it's a ba'ala where he's, right, v'avadetem mehira. That type of mehiras is not a good thing. But it's a chipazim, it's an outward chipazim that inspires him to be in a state of chipazim, that there's a sense of urgency in his mind that's going to motivate him to carry through. Like the Chafetz Chaim said, right, that you're going to finish the job. Like Rav Avram Bloch said, to be able to be a Talmud Chacham who's Tocho Kabar, even if you encounter some wood along the way. Below Pesach Doros, right? Not like Pesach Doros, where a person could take it a little slower. Which is Merumas in Ervas Haaretz in Mitzrayim, which is Mekushar Behem. A person is attached to Arayos more than anything else. So Lishmur HaRegesh Misorabo, a person has to grab onto that moment of Isoris. One time in the Velazhen Yeshiva, there was a Bach who was sitting. They were sitting by lunch, and there's a whole discussion going on, and someone raised a certain Tosos, and this Bach couldn't remember this Tosos. And he was so upset that he couldn't remember this Tosos that he ran out of the lunchroom and he locked himself up for the next 7 years and learned without talking to anyone. He mamash didn't leave a room for 7 years. Right? So they say he forgot the bench. Forgot the bench. That's what they used to talk about. Wasn't right, he forgot the bench. Right? But Rav Chaim Volozhin used to say, if he would have taken the time to bench, if he would have waited to bench and then and only then, you know, acted on that hisoris, he never would have been able to do what he did for those next 7 years. So sometimes you got, you know, so you have that isoris, says Rav Tzedek. You need to be shomer that rega. Right? Rega is Rashi Tevos, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek always tries to slow us down. A person has isoris, you gotta run with it. You gotta stay hot. Right? Like we were when we came out of Mitzrayim. So you have the Ratzon Hashem, Lachboz al Oso Rega, Lamar, Letzeis Meham, Ulayuchal. At best, you could hope that maybe if a person, right, maybe you'll be able to cut yourself free from these things. And then afterwards, a person can go slowly, slowly, step by step, and try to solidify that isaurus and lock it in a way that it won't be shaker, won't be fake. It'll be something that he's able to carry with him big fears. Okay, shkayach. Thank you very much.